Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, welcome in. It's a Friday, and we've got Michael Kelly from Show Me Victories and Brad Young from Harris Dow Fisher and Young in the studio to kick things off. And why don't we start off with some political conversation? That's always fun, right?
What? No, really?
Because I know you guys aren't going to get to that over the next 2 hours,
not
right?
Not at all.
Not
and
at
we
all.
Agree on everything anyway, so what difference does it make?
I'm sure you agree that Democrats are going to take control of the House in November. They're optimistic about it, at least. But they are anxious a little bit about the presence of their longtime and polarizing leader, Nancy Pelosi, thinking she might make it harder for many of the candidates who are in those crucial swing districts. Republicans have made the House Minority Leader a central element of their attack ads. They're portraying many of their opponents as tied to the liberal from San Francisco. This kind of reminds me of Bruce Rauner talking about Mike Madigan, even when Mike Madigan's not in the story. So what's going on with Nancy Pelosi, Michael Kelly?
Well, I mean, the Republicans have tried to make her the lightning rod. Let's just be clear. This election's not going to be about Nancy Pelosi. It's not going to be about Mitch McConnell. It's going to be about Donald Trump in most places. This is, Nancy Pelosi is a polarizing figure, especially to Republicans and somewhat in the Democratic Party. But she raises a lot of money. She has had great success. She will be one of the people, one of the reasons we'd get take back control of the House. And having said all that, I hope she does not stand for Speaker. I hope it's time for some new, fresh leadership and a new face for the Democratic Party.
Well, the biggest problem with Nancy Pelosi is I can't seem to understand her unless I break out my shrill to English dictionary.
Sexist.
Because when she talks, I mean, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard, all right? So, again, without that shrill to English dictionary, I don't even understand what she's saying. But what I think is more interesting is that the biggest attacks against Nancy Pelosi aren't really coming from the Republicans. They're coming from the types of Alexandria Cortez and the new socialists who are attacking her based upon her age. And I thought, Michael Kelly, I didn't think that from a liberal perspective, we were supposed to be attacking people because of their age. And yet that's what we see in the Democrats over and over and over again. What? They're attacking Nancy Pelosi. They're even attacking Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden for being too old. And
Brad,
I don't understand how that fits into
Brad,
the liberal
I'm
mindset.
With you. Anybody who's attacking people for age, that's wrong. I don't see that as much as I see the Republicans spending lots of money talking about Nancy Pelosi in districts across the country. As it relates to Cortez, I mean, I think she's all about attention. She reminds me a lot about the president. She just wants to jump into everything and have a statement on everything. And she seems to have a cure for what she thinks is right for the whole country when she's still got an election to win in Brooklyn.
Well, you know, the Nancy Pelosi, I understand she's the face of the Democrat Party when it comes to the Republican attack ads, but really, I guess I won't make any comments about her plastic surgeon. So I guess it's time to move on.
Well, speaking of that dynamic, we had Lacey Clay win his primary this week over Cori Bush. He was live on Total Information AM. We asked him, will you vote for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker if the blue wave does come in November? He said, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's if she stands. I mean, look, she's been the leader. She's raised a lot of money, and you've got to speak to her success. I mean, she has taken us back to the having control of the Congress now. If she does this, it'd be the third time. So there's something to be said for that. I'm hopeful, though, that it's time for a fresh face and a new outlook for the Democratic Party, and I don't think Nancy Pelosi will stand for Speaker.
First Lady Melania Trump's parents became U.S. citizens in a naturalization ceremony in New York yesterday after going through a years-long immigration process. Now, President Trump has called for some new laws that would bar Americans from sponsoring parents and other relatives. And so, Brad, is this a good example, Melania Trump's parents, a good example of the chain migration that the president talks about wanting to end?
It is. But, you know, if you look at The Washington Post this morning and certainly The New York Times as well, they're both just going crazy about this this issue because the president's in-laws are being naturalized through chain migration. He's simply taking advantage of the laws that exist. It's no different than going out and saying we need to reform our tax law. But until the tax law gets reformed, I'm going to pay my taxes according to what the current laws are.
Yeah, Brad, I think that's all fine and well if the president wasn't having his rallies where he has made immigrants the focus of his attacks. He's talked about chain migration. He's mainly speaking to Hispanics, and we're hearing no comment as it relates to his two nice white immigrants, parents-in-laws coming in from Eastern Europe. It looks bad for the president, and you can say what you want. This is exactly the same thing the president's talking about banning.
So let me ask you this, though. Now that the president apparently supports chain migration, anything that the president supports, the libs have to hate. So are we going to see the Democrats now come out against? Wait a second. Are we going to see the Democrats now come out against chain migration? If that's the case, you know, that's something we can all agree on.
No, that's just not true. We're not lemmings like those on the right that have to follow the president against their own principles, like most of the Republicans are doing on tariffs.
Really, not lemmings? When's the last time that the New York Times actually supported anything the president did? The president could say today's Friday, and the New York Times would have an expose about how he's incorrect.
All right, let's move on. All right, let's move on to Chicago. Some residents there are outraged by a police operation that deployed a so-called bait truck in the city's Englewood neighborhood trying to nab some thieves. They allege that police from a major railroad line left tractor trailers that were filled with expensive merchandise, I think they were shoes, to lure people into stealing. But police say the operation was necessary because they want to bust some thieves who have been breaking into cargo shipments in recent weeks. But Michael Kelly, do you have any problems with bait trucks?
Man, Chicago's got a nightmare going on with all these murders and stuff. It seems to me that there may be a
like 70
focus.
People shot in a
yeah,
day.
Ugh. 70 people shot in a day. All these illegal guns that are on the street in Chicago. Seems they have a larger issues to be worried about. Having said that, I don't know the particular situation. I mean, if they've got a distribution center where people are just getting robbed on a daily basis, they've got to look at every tool to try to prevent crime from happening. But this isn't a good look when you've got literally war-like statistics coming out on a daily basis out of Chicago as it relates to guns.
Yeah, certainly that's the case. And I guess from my point of view, I want to support the police, particularly in Chicago, because they're doing all that they can, and I don't want to see them attacked for doing something here when they're really doing their best to try to reduce crime. It's more than just crime. It's an epidemic.
It's 8:39. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with traffic and weather together after this.
KMOX. You ready?
Let's go.
This is Overtime.
All right, welcome back. Michael here with Michael Kelly and Brad Young. And there's an Atlanta charter school that plans to end the Pledge of Allegiance, take it out of the morning routine. And it really is part of the routine at schools. After facing criticism, though, the school decided to change their mind. So, Brad, should the pledge remain in schools?
What is the NFL running our school system now that we're going to have to have this big controversy about the Pledge of Allegiance? I don't understand what is so controversial about saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and the fact that a school system is even considering removing it and then bringing it back shows you just how divisive our country has become.
Yeah, of course it should stay, and every kid should do the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning.
Let's talk about the state fair in Illinois. Oh, I don't think I've been to a state fair before.
Really?
No.
Oh, they're a blast. Uh-huh.
The Illinois State Fair is now open, but they unveiled the Butter Cow the day before it opened. It's one of the fair's most popular attractions. 600 pounds of butter. I don't know how many pieces of toast you'd have to go with that. But, Michael, have you ever attended a state fair before?
I have. And when I
Is it
left,
the Missouri Fair?
It was the Missouri State Fair. I've been there. I've been to the Iowa State Fair with Mr. Gephardt when he was running for president.
I'd like to go to the Minnesota Fair.
In 2004, when I gave up working for the Democratic Party, I would never, ever, ever go to another state fair again in my life. It is not my bag. I have no desire to look at animals that have been raised and blah, 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 and you know, the second biggest ball of twine, and more importantly, everything fried, including
yes.
Oreos.
Twinkies. Fried Twinkies.
It's ridiculous. It's not my scene, but I get why people are into it.
Yeah, I grew up going to the Illinois State Fair every year as a kid, and they're a lot of fun, and they're a slice of Americana that's becoming less and less visible in our high-tech 21st century America.
All right, SLU and Alexa. I hope I didn't set off anybody's device there. St. Louis University becomes the first college or university to add Alexa-enabled devices to every student living space. So if you're in a dorm, a residence hall, student apartment, you'll have an Echo Dot already installed, more than 2,300 across the campus, and they'll have special information specific to SLU. Brad, what do you think of Alexa across the SLU campus?
Well, first of all, I need to give a full disclaimer here. I am a graduate of St. Louis University School of Law. I like to say that you don't have to graduate from SLU Law to be a fantastic attorney, but why would you ever want to take the chance? But in this instance, this is truly a Jeff Goldblum moment. I mean, you know, Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park, that we spent so much time figuring out if we could that we didn't stop to figure out if we should. And the idea that we're going to be putting recording devices in college dorm rooms is a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it's clever. I think it's interesting. It looks like they have a partnership. Will it be SLU-specific stuff? But with everything we're learning about Alexa now, you can't help but have that little thing in the back of your head going off saying, what else is going on here? That
your phone's seems a little listening. Creepy. I mean, if I were to say, hey, Siri.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Siri, there we go. There she see, she was
no,
just listening
I
to
get
us
it,
right there.
But you choose to be able to activate that piece. You carry your phone with you everywhere. These kids are going to school, you know, and I guess they can unplug it. Siri yelling at you, isn't she?
Siri agrees with you.
Yeah, Siri agrees with you. Well, she's the only one in the room, Michael. Why don't we just hang Orwellian devices in our college dorm rooms?
I think okay? you and I are on the same page.
We are exactly
you're
on the same.
You're ripping on me.
Well, because it's so easy. That's why.
Oh, okay.
It's easy.
All right, let's move on to Crocs. Crocs is closing all of its manufacturing facilities, and one of their executives is going to resign. They're popular among hospital and restaurant workers and anybody who toils on their feet. I actually bought my only pair of Crocs when I was a lifeguard because you're standing there for 5 hours walking around. But that was, you know, 2002, 2003, 2004. Now people are not so hot on the Crocs. Michael Kelly, have you hung yours up yet?
I've never owned a pair of Crocs in my life. I would never wear a pair of Crocs. Plastic shoes, come on.
Mine were sandals, by the way. They were not those like Swiss cheese Croc.
No, I've never owned a pair of Crocs. I'm proud to say it. And usually when people had them on, I kind of, unless it was in a pool setting, like you, Mike, I usually like, oh, they're wearing Crocs, so I got to stay away.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you who's going to miss Crocs, and that's the legal industry, because more people have been injured after they trip over wearing Crocs and then filed lawsuits. So, you know, this is going to be putting a dent in a lot of lawyers' pocketbooks because of this.
You can sue for tripping over your own feet.
Oh, it happens every day.
Give me a break.
Slip and fall, and then they blame the store, and it's really just
we
got to
talk about that. That's a Croc.
That is a Croc.
Oh, my gosh. All right, how many kids have access to credit cards? There's a new study that says the number of children, we're talking ages 8 to 14, with access to credit cards has quadrupled in just the past 5 years. And if we're talking 13 and 14 years old, that's more than doubled in the past 1 year alone. These children are now carrying credit cards as guests on their parents' accounts. Brad, can you justify giving an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 13-year-old a credit card?
The answer is no. I don't want 8-year-olds having anything close to having access to a credit card. Like, can you imagine the damage and the wholesale destruction that can happen online with a credit card? No, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself. And at 8th grade, up till I was like 17, if I'd had a credit card, it would have been an absolute disaster for my parents. This is insane.
All right, coming up next when we continue on Overtime, how about some drunk shopping? Well, I mean, not right now. Maybe right now. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out what happens during the commercial break. We'll be back after this.
Guess what?
What?
Overtime continues.
You gotta be kidding.
Really?
Really, really.
On KMOX.
850, welcome back in, and let's do some fireball shopping right now. Who doesn't like to drunkenly shop on Amazon? Most of us have probably done it. I know a friend who bought enough play balls, you know, like you'd find a Discovery Zone,
right,
to fill the living room of her apartment. And then she canceled it the next day, luckily. If you're a gin drinker, you probably shop online drunk a lot. Nice, Chris. A study by the personal finance website, Finder.com, says that 2,000 Americans they surveyed, nearly half have bought stuff online while buzzed. And gin drinkers, okay, here we go. Gin drinkers spent more while drunk shopping to the tune of $82 versus the second highest, which are rum drinkers who dropped $54 on average. That's it, $54? That's drunk shopping? Michael Kelly, You've got to have done this before, right?
Oh, yeah. Right now, in my house, if you went to the island, you know, in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and you opened up the cabinets, there's probably, you know, the Orbitz gums, they come in these little round things. They're delicious gums. I've probably got enough gum for 2 years. I had an incident with impaired shopping one day.
And you know, was it rum or gin?
It was like, what's that?
Was it rum or gin?
It was vodka.
Ah.
but I wound up coming home one day, and I'm like, what's this box? I don't remember ordering anything. And I open it up, and it's gum, and it's gum, and it's gum, and it's gum. I probably spent about $125 on gum one night, wow. thinking I was just buying one or two packs.
You sure Hancock didn't send that to you as a joke?
I thought it was. I had to go back and look. You know, you start to unpack, using a young person word, exactly what happened, and then I realize, oh, 2 nights ago I was doing this, and now I have gum.
Well, this makes a lot of sense to me, because if you've ever seen the stuff that's sold on QVC, I mean, people would have to be drunk to be buying that stuff. Really?
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. If people are drunk shopping, that's their entire business model. We sell to drunk shoppers. QVC.
Do you guys ever find yourselves getting, like, mesmerized by these infomercials, you know, that, like, this gold thing you put on the grill? And it keeps the fish from going through.
Oh, I've seen that.
And then about 15 minutes later, I'm like, I've been watching an infomercial for the last 15 minutes. What the heck is wrong with me?
You know, Adult Swim does fake infomercials. Those are pretty funny.
I have not seen those.
All right, let's move on OT. Oscars revamp. If you're tired of those long broadcasts that keep you up late to see who the best picture goes to, this will be music to your ears. They've announced that the broadcast for the 91st Academy Awards will be 3 hours max, and also a new award, Outstanding Achievement in Popular Film. Now, last year's four-hour-long Oscars broadcast was the lowest rated in history. Brad Young, is this going to make more people watch to find out what is most popular film? Is that just... We should already know the answer to that, right?
Well, yeah, but let's call it what it is. This is no more than an acknowledgement that we can't make good movies in Hollywood that make money. And so we're going to give an award for mediocrity for the movie that makes $1 billion because everybody goes and sees it. And right now, that's all superhero movies. So why don't we call it Outstanding Achievement for Guys in Tights? Okay, let's call it that, because
like
that's really what it is.
Yeah, I'm not a superhero film guy myself. Now, listen, the Oscars are nice. I can read who wound up winning the next day. I like that hour beforehand of the red carpet show, because I'm a single guy. I like to see the dresses and the girls. And so I wind up spending more time watching the pregame, you know, when they're walking in and they're twirling around and they're, you know, showing off their outfits. That's what I'm into. The other stuff, whatever. I think the red carpet's the best part.
Well, speaking of clothes, we just have about a minute left, but you may have heard the story about Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chairman, who during his trial it came out that he spent $929,000 on suits in 5 years, including a $15,000 ostrich leather bomber jacket. I know you've got the only other one of those in existence, Brad Young. Is that the most expensive thing you've bought, though?
No, the most expensive thing I've bought is a toupee. No, I've never bought. Only at the suggestion of my wife. No, I've not. My clothing, if it doesn't come off the rack at TJ Maxx, then I'm not buying it. So, no, nothing like that in my closet,
yeah,
I can assure
that'd
you.
That'd be a giant ditto. I'm not a big clothes person, but I do have a quick little story. I was walking through Neiman Marcus one day to go to a meeting at one of the restaurants out there at Plaza Frontenac, mm-hmm. and there was this pretty girl who was selling this, you know, men's cologne, and she was spraying it. And so I stopped and I said, yeah, you know what? That's really good. I'd like that. And so all of a sudden she rings it up. It's like $600.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, man. And so now I don't want to look like a tool. So then I buy it and I'm going back the next day to return it. She's working there again.
Oh,
I had to go back four times before I could return it when she wasn't there.
More of that just coming up next. We've got Michael Kelly and Brad Young on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.